Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Laura and I'm an alcoholic.
Hello.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses or opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This morning we will be hearing from three speakers from the fellowship, and they will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Audrey, would you like to share?
Yeah, thanks. Hi everyone, my name's Audrey and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Audrey.
Hey Audrey.
Grateful to be sober today and at another meeting. I'm really glad that I have meetings to come to. I must admit I'm a little bit nervous about sharing on the radio, but I just have to remember that this is just another AA meeting and I'm here to carry the message of AA. And so what that means is, for me, I share what it was like, what happened and what's it like now. So what it was like, you know, when I first came to AA, I was really frightened that people were going to tell me I couldn't come, because I heard a lot of things that I didn't identify with, because I hadn't lost the kids or had DICs or lost my job. I didn't drink every day. I didn't do all the stuff that I thought alcoholics did. But what it was like for me was, I would have periods in my life where I would just drink at home on my own. I would drink to the point that I could sleep. Drinking for me was a chance to let go. It was like where I could get away from who I was. It was an opportunity to turn my head off. I didn't know any other way to get peace. So yeah, alcohol gave me peace until it stopped. But I used to have these periods where, you know, if there was something stressful that happened in my life, like, a relationship stress or something like that, I'd go through periods of just going to work. So that's the other thing. I managed to hold a job all the way through, which, you know, I thought that meant that I wasn't a real alcoholic. But, you know, I'd go to work, I'd come home, I'd drink till I couldn't stand up, then I'd fall into bed, and then I'd pull myself out of bed in the morning and put on some more lipstick and a bit of perfume, and off I'd go, and I'd do it all over again. And the thing that happened that started my descent or my beginning of recovery was, I remember being out one night with some girlfriends. It was a hen's do and we were drinking, and that relief that I used to get didn't come. That sort of that I used to get, it never arrived. I was getting drunk, like I was drunk to the point of seeing double and wanting to vomit, but there wasn't any relief anymore. You know, there wasn't any peace. It stopped working for me. And, you know, I don't know why it did that. I know some people have to go a lot further down before they get that. Today, I believe it was my higher power that had other plans, but that relief didn't come. And, you know, I persevered with drinking for another 18 months, 2 years after that, but there was never really that relief anymore. It was just mindless, yeah. And in the end, I got more and more frantic in terms of the things that I needed to do in order to find that relief, more and more desperate. And I started changing all these things. You know, it was my job, it was my home, it was my boyfriend, it was my hair colour, it was whatever. And so, long story short, I convinced my partner of the time that we needed to go and live in Europe. And we sold everything that we had, And we went off to Europe, and he had a job on long-haul buses, and I worked in a camping ground in Venice, which sounds pretty exciting, but it was living in a caravan in autumn in Venice. And I knew that I didn't want to drink, because when I drank, I did stuff I regretted, but I couldn't not drink. And wine's really cheap over there, so my life was getting up, going to work, and then going and locking myself in my caravan and drinking until I fell asleep. You know, it wasn't very glamorous at all. And then his company, a number of things happened, and 2 weeks later we were living in London, and I came home one night and I had a fight with him, and I poured a drink, which is what I did when I had a fight. And I took a slug, and the thought came to me just out of the blue, was this drink isn't going to make any difference. And I don't even really know what that meant. So I tipped it out, and I went to bed, and the next morning I went to an AA meeting. And it just amazes me, because, like I said, I didn't really think I was an alcoholic. But for some reason I knew that I needed to go to AA. And I don't remember anything from that meeting except trying really hard not to look like an alcoholic, whatever that meant. And being so impressed with all the people. They looked so shiny and they looked really happy and they had some sort of a joy and a bounce. And, I remember being really frightened. And I kept going to those meetings, and that's where I found out that I was a real alcoholic, because what happened for me was, after I started going to AA, things got worse. Maybe not a good story to tell the newcomer, but things got worse, because what I know now is that I became face-to-face with alcoholism, and that alcoholism is this thing that lives in me, and drinking used to take it away. And then I stopped drinking, and I was left with this disease. I was left with this emptiness, this aching, this irritability, this unable to live, unable to do life. Basic decisions that I used to be able to do, I couldn't do. And I know today that that was alcoholism. And I used to say to my first sponsor, because I got a sponsor straight away. I was told to get a sponsor. Got a sponsor straight away. And I used to say to her, oh, look, I don't know if I'm a real alcoholic, because, you know, the stuff that happened to these people, it didn't happen to me. And she used to say to me, well, if you're not an alcoholic, why is it that not drinking is affecting you so much? Because somebody that just drinks a bit too much, if they stop drinking, then life gets better. But if an alcoholic stops drinking, they're left with alcoholism, and then they have to do something about it. That's what I discovered. I was left with alcoholism, and I had to do something about it. And what I did about it was I embraced, as best as I was able, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and I came home to New Zealand with the wisdom of 3 months sobriety, and got another sponsor and got busy working the steps. And the woman I picked to be my sponsor, I picked her because she talked about going mad in recovery, and she talked about something happening to her that saved her, and she promised me that I could have that, because what I desperately wanted was that thing that I used to look for in the beginning, which was peace. You know, that inner peace? And she told me I could have it if I worked the program of AA. And so in the early days, you know, we were chatting about it in the car on the way here. In the early days, that meant going to lots of meetings all over the place, you know. I had that luxury of time and just going to any kind of meeting and meeting all sorts of people and being really passionate about going to meetings. And then it had to be more than just meetings. You know, then there was the step work, working through the steps with my sponsor, working through the steps as they are in the big book, and then getting involved in service and doing things like coming here today to carry the message of AA to people that, you know, might be new to AA or haven't heard of AA. And eventually, after some time, it became sponsoring other women and helping them to work the steps. And today, AA is recovery, and AA is a central point of my life. I've had some real changes in my circumstances over the last 12 months that have been hard. And I absolutely believe that if it wasn't for the support and fellowship of AA, plus the relationship or the higher power that I've developed as a result of coming to AA, I wouldn't have survived it, and I wouldn't have stayed sober. But I have stayed sober, and I've dealt with it, I think, with grace and dignity, and I owe that to Alcoholics Anonymous. So, you know, I'm really grateful to be here today and to share the message, and I hope somebody hears something that could be of help to them. So thank you for listening.
Thanks,
thank you, Audrey. Justine, would you like to share?
Good morning. My name's Justine, alcoholic.
Hi, Justine.
My home group is Mount Eden Friday Night Quakers. It's Mothering Sunday today, so anyone that's kind of listening, wanting to find some answers, if we've got some questions, if you want to find people, you know, some similarities, Alcoholics Anonymous, it's the place that where you're going to find those. I came into the rooms around about 2 years ago, and the reason is because I couldn't deal with life on life's terms without adding alcohol to everything. And since being in the rooms and learning about the disease, the refreshing fact that it was a disease, and a lot of people from all walks of life are affected by it, you know, I've learned that I've actually had this this disease since it began, and I learned that it was a three-part: physical, mental, and spiritual. And you know, if I go back to before alcohol even entered my life, I never really felt part of. Just always felt uncomfortable. I remember I played a lot of sport when I was younger, and my dad always saying to me, "You've got to talk to people, Justine. You know, you've got to get in there. You got to." You know, I just didn't feel right. I had no self esteem. You know, I had no confidence, and I just always thought, you know, I was so sensitive as well. You know, if anyone said anything slightly out of turn to me at school, that was it. I didn't want to go to school for 3 days. And my mother and father weren't really like that. You know, they were very sociable, amicable people, and they enjoyed other people. So I was slightly, you know, insecure, reclusive. And then I had a drink. I had a drink at the age of 15. I was a little bit taller, a little bit older than a lot of my friends, so I would be the one that would go to the bottle shop and buy the bottle of 2020. My first experience of alcohol, I didn't just drink alcohol, I downed a whole bottle of 2020 and gambled down the hill to get maximum effect. And the Rooms of Alcohol Anonymous has taught me that this is the disease of more, you know, that you always want more. And if I look back on my drinking career, you know, that just continued. It progressed slowly to start with. But, you know, when I got to university, all I wanted to do was drink and take drugs. I started to take drugs so that I could drink for longer. Then I thought, oh, this town is no good. Drugs are too cheap. Alcohol, there's just parties everywhere. I'm going to go to Canada. You know, so I went to Canada, did exactly the same, but worse there. And as I've learned in the rooms, this disease is the disease of rationalization as well. So, you know, I would just change my circumstances and my geographical location and my friends to suit my habit. And it would just change as it grew and it grew. So then, you know, I packed up my backpack and I went traveling, and just always me was there, you know, and wherever I went, however beautiful the location was, the scenery, the people, I'd have a bottle of something in my bag, because I couldn't deal with life on life terms. And I guess I was always searching for something more. It was kind of, as I was growing up, I was in my early 20s, I could still function, you know, as the previous speaker said. It wasn't a problem. I wouldn't admit there was a problem to myself because I could still function, and I was still kind of moving. I came to New Zealand, and I was actually in a relationship at the time where my partner didn't drink and highlighted my behaviour to me. And I think when I really knew that I had a problem, and I like to kind of relate this to a story in the Big Book, it's the Jaywalker. he just continues crossing the road, getting hit by oncoming traffic and expecting, you know, a different result. But as he keeps going, he loses limbs, you know, and that was me. I would stop for a period of time, but then I'd start to drink again, and it would just progressively get worse. And in the end, you know, parts of my life started falling off, and that's when I had to really look at my behaviour. And I just couldn't function. You know, I lost my job, I lost my relationship, I crashed my car, things that I just couldn't say this is okay anymore. You know, so, I came in and, I guess I was pretty much, beaten into a reasonable state of whatever they say. I was pretty broken anyway. And I can safely say that I have more peace, and that's what I was looking for when I came into the rooms. This program has made me stop. Still, I've never stayed still, you know, in my life. I've always been moving, but you got to get honest with this program. You got to look at, you know, the reasons why you drink, and you got to hand everything over as well. And that, you know, that's just been so good. I've just had so many realizations and revelations about myself and my behavior. I can't really articulate them now, but this is a program. It's like a guidebook, I guess, to life. And for me, it gives me structure and it gives me routine. It gives me a base for my everyday life. Every day I wake up without a hangover, without a foggy head, and I get on my knees and I hand over my will that just wasn't getting me anywhere before. You know, and I ask to be present in the day, and I ask to give to people rather than take, because that's all I've ever wanted. I've just wanted to take, and because I wasn't getting what I wanted, I felt bad, and so I drank, you know, in short. But, you know, this program's given me a second chance. It's given me some hope. I feel for me like I'm building something. It's slow, but I'm building something. And for the first time in my life, it's progression rather than that endless merry-go-round of just, you know, waking up. What am I doing? Where am I going? It's getting worse. It's not getting worse anymore. It's getting better. And I feel better. You know, my health is better. My skin is better. My brain is a little bit clearer. My short-term memory is not that great, but I'll just put that down to all the drinking from before. For anyone listening, you know, there is probably a reason why you're thinking I might be an alcoholic, you know, so just come and check out the meetings. There's many, many people to meet here that have got some great stories and some great wisdom to share.
True. Thanks, Justine.
Thank you, Justine.
And Chris, would you like to share?
Sure, thanks very much. My name's Chris and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Chris.
And it's great to be here this morning, and I've enjoyed listening to the previous two speakers, and just to have the opportunity to carry the message to, to someone that's out there that might be listening today, who might be wondering, do I have a drinking problem or not? It's great that you're listening, and I guess we all have to come to AA. In my own experience, anyway, you know, I had to go to AA to kind of figure out whether I was an alcoholic or not. You know, I might have said before I went to AA that I could have a drink problem, or maybe I drink a bit too much. Maybe I'm a bit of a heavy drinker, but there's no way I would have said I was an alcoholic. And you know, I guess for me to realise that I was an alcoholic is I had to identify with other alcoholics first, you know. And, like prior to coming to AA, I really felt alone out there in the world. And, you know, I really felt like I was up a creek without a paddle. And, Justine was talking about the guidebook, you know. Well, before I came to AA, I really identified with that. I really felt like I had missed out on the guidebook of life. I felt like other people were getting this book when they were born, and I was kind of missed out on it. So it was quite funny. I I call myself a primary alcoholic. I think I even before I picked up a drink, I found living life difficult. And for a long time after I did pick up alcohol, almost seemed like a solution to my life, and it, you know, it made me feel a part of, and it just took away that that complete awkwardness that I had about being Chris and about living life, and you know, it took all that away for a time. And but you know, I just wanted to do it more and more, and yeah, there's a saying in AA that, that one is too many and a thousand never enough, and I guess that, that's what happened to me. And what started out as you know, a solution ended up taking everything from me. And you know, I got sober young. I got sober when I was 25. I can remember in my, you know, early 20s, you know, things in my life weren't going very well, and a lot of the people I grew up with, and they were kind of sorting out their lives and getting on with things, and I was just kind of the same person, and nothing was really happening. And you know, I can remember trying things out to sort my life out. And yeah, I used to think that if I got all my, Audrey kind of talked about it, and I really identify that with her when she says that, you know, I thought as well that if I got all my ducks in a row in my life, then I would be okay, and then I would drink like a balanced person, and you know, I wouldn't need to drink because everything in my life would be sweet. And I've learned in AA that it's an inside job, not an outside job. And yeah, so I used to think that. I used to think if I get everything in my life sorted out, you know, just get the right balance of everything, and then I'll be okay, you know. And so I used to try a lot of things to sort my life out. You know, I tried counselling and psychotherapy and Chinese medicine and self-help books and changed my location. And but no matter what I did or what I tried, I still had the same head on my shoulders. And you know, I went to AA to get someone off my back. You know, it was an ultimatum. And you know, I went to my first meeting thinking that you know, I hadn't drunk enough, I wasn't bad enough, I was too young. Yeah, a lot of a lot of ideas about what an alcoholic was, and it certainly wasn't someone like me. And you know, I went to my first AA meeting, and what I talked about at the start of my speaking about identification, when I first went to my AA meeting, it was the first time in my life that I really, you know, I identified with the other people that were speaking in the room. And I think that's really key, you know. And it was for me anyway, like, to just sort of, you know, I can remember leaving my first meeting and just, you know, feeling like I was in the right place, you know. And I identified with what people talked about, you know, what they did, like, mainly around the thinking. I really identified with the thinking of an alcoholic, you know, and the way they the feelings and the thoughts of an alcoholic. And yeah, I really identified with that stuff. And yeah, I can just remember being in my first meeting, just nodding a lot, you know, that old AA nod on, and just going, yep, I did that, and I think like that, I felt like that. And it's really, yeah, like I said, it's really key for me. And it really gave me the desire to come back, you know. And that's what I did. I kept coming to meetings, and that's what they say in the early days in AA is don't pick up the first drink no matter what. You can't get drunk if you don't pick up the first drink, and just to keep coming back. And you know, at the stage I was at, I couldn't comprehend much, but I could comprehend that much, you know, at the time. And I found out later on, you know, after keeping coming back, as a result of keeping coming back, I've discovered that there's a lot of other things I had to do as well. And but I find that out gradually as I go along. And you know, I've asked for help a little way in, and asked for someone to be my sponsor. And you know, we work the 12 steps of AA. And you know, I discovered that AA is a spiritual program, and it's not a religious program, and I'm glad of that too, you know, because it might have put me off in the early days too. And you know, I'm glad, you know, it's a very open program in that regard. And When we talk about God, it's a God of our understanding, and I was glad of that too. So, you know, in the early days for me, my higher power was the group of AA, you know, and that worked for me at the start, and it's kind of grown as the years have gone on, I'm 32 now, so I came in when I was 25, I'm 33 now, and the years are flying by, and I'm in my eighth year of sobriety now, and I really love living, and I haven't only found a solution to not drinking, but I've also found a great way to live, and from being in that broken place of not being able to live with a drink and not being able to live without a drink, that turning point to just having a real sense of freedom and sobriety and just feeling free in my life, and just the sense that it's okay to be Chris today and even enjoy it. And I really love life today, and I really live life as well. I love there's a line in our big book, our AA big book, and it says, you know, we stay on the firing side of life, or words to that effect, you know, and I really love those words, you know. It means that we really live life, and it's really great. All the things I do today are the things that I could never even dream of doing when I was drinking. And life when I was drinking was a very small bubble, and today my world's like quite big, you know, and like all this amazing like life stuff has happened. Since I've been in sobriety, just opportunities, I own a business today, and I employ people today, and I got married in sobriety, and I bought a house in sobriety, and just all this, like, really cool stuff, you know, this is all the things that I could only ever dream about when I was drinking, you know, and just things that were unattainable, and they're just so far away, and I'm just really glad that, you know, I've stayed in AA, and it's not easy those early couple of years. I found the early couple of years not hard, because I wasn't used to living sober. If I knew how to live sober, I would have just stopped drinking and would have carried on with my life and things would have been fine, but I had to learn how to live sober, and I'm glad I stayed long enough to work that out one day at a time, and I'm still working it out one day at a time. And today I just do my best to pass on the program to the next person. And when I do that, I get to keep what I have as well. And that's another gift of the program. And all those things I was talking about before, like the house and stuff like that, like that's all outside stuff. But the biggest thing of all is that I have a great sense of freedom inside, and I feel free. And nothing can buy that, you know. So that's me. I guess if you're, I live out West Auckland, and my home group's Titirangi on Wednesday night, and it's at 8 o'clock at the Titirangi Community Centre. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering whether you're an alcoholic or not, just come along to a meeting and come along to the Titirangi meeting and just come to the meeting and listen. And you might identify too, you might not, but you might do. So thanks for the opportunity. Cheers. Cool.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Okay, this brings us towards the end of our meeting. Our speakers this morning have been from several groups, and it's all been marvellous, lovely to hear you sharing. And if you think you have a problem with alcohol and you want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, which will put you in contact with an AA member in the local area. There are over 100 AA meetings each week within the Greater Auckland area. And for more information, you can log on to aa.org.nz. Thank you for listening. We will be here next Sunday again at 10:45 a.m. We will close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You're on 104.6 FM with the Alcoholics AA meeting on air. Excuse me, I'll just get this info. You can hear this program again at planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air. Thanks, everyone.